What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Pro Football Draft Junkie Podcast. This is our first Draft Thought show. This is the idea that came from, you know, what we did last year. We did divisional shows for the NFL, but since it's still free agency and nobody signed yet, and what happened last year, the needs for teams completely shifted after free agency. This year we thought we would, before we, you know, do our divisional shows, we just do, you know, a show called, you know, called Draft Thoughts, and just talk about what we're thinking about based on the guys we've watched so far, and then go from there after free agency to address team needs. We will be addressing a little bit of that on these Draft Thought shows. We'll do about two or three of these a week, but as far as like what we did last year with focusing on actual divisions, we won't probably do that until after free agency when it's clear and we can look at the teams and address it, you know, division by division. As always, if you guys have any questions, we are on Facebook at facebook.com/NFL Draft Junkie. You can email us at NFL Draft Junkie@gmail.com. And let's go ahead and get into this show because it's pre-combine. The combine's going on right now. We had our first day today. So let's go ahead and get the Draft Thought show that we were doing out of the way now. And we can go ahead and talk about some guys, you know, based on players that I've seen. And when I meet up with my co-host, the Fantasy Matriculator, we'll be able to bounce more ideas off each other because obviously with two of us, we've seen more footage. I'll start this with Ohio State's wide receiver, Michael Thomas, who I like this year. He's been bouncing around on certain boards because he, you know, not much is known about him. They didn't have great quarterback play at Ohio State, but based on the tape I've watched, he looked like he'd be a special wide receiver class in a class that doesn't have much. It's not to say it's a bad class, but it seems like it's not very top heavy. You only have a few guys that are viewed as, you know, first round picks as of now. You got like your Corey Coleman, Laquon Treadwell, who's my number one receiver, and then you got Josh Doctson. So that's about three guys. Michael Thomas could make a case for being a top receiver. He's 16th on my big board. He was my big mover. I have him higher than most big boards right now, just based on what I've watched. He's got runs great routes, very good after the catch, tough to take down. He had a good game against a guy who's being viewed as a first rounder. He had a very good game against Kendall Fuller out of Virginia Tech, who's being viewed as a first-rounder, second-rounder coming out of Virginia Tech. Yeah, he made him bite hard on a touchdown catch in the opening game of the season this year. So Michael Thomas is a guy that is trending upwards for me right now. Staying in the Big Ten, a guy who's trending downward for me right now is Connor Cook. I still keep looking at, you know, he should have taken the Senior Bowl invitation, especially because it's not a very deep quarterback class this year. And there's, you know, reports coming out that he's not, you know, character-wise, teams aren't sure what to make out of him because there is the report that he was not voted one of the team captains, which is usually a surefire thing for a senior quarterback on a college team. This could be making a mountain out of a molehill, but that is the thought right now, is that he could have used, you know, taken at least one of these invitations to come in, you know, and distance himself, because you got guys like Carson Wentz, who I like, Carson Wentz and Paxton Lynch, but They're a lot of upside guys. Connor Cook, who's been playing in tough divisions, because you got that argument too against Paxton Lynch. Well, Paxton Lynch not as much, because he's beaten good teams like Ole Miss and stuff like that. But Carson Wentz, you know, his knock, which I don't always agree with, is that he, you know, play the big teams, and that's what Connor Cook did, and he could have helped himself a lot. And so when we do a combine shows after this weekend, that's going to be very big to see how he's handled the interview processes and all of that, because as of right now, he's 48th on my big board, and I'm doing a top 50 for now, so he's on the verge of falling out. He keeps falling on my list. A player I like that I've watched some tape about is Kevin Dodd, defensive end, pass rusher out of Clemson. He looked legit to me, even though the one knock on him is that he only has 1 year of big production under his belt. I believe that this year was his first year in college even recording a sack. He doesn't have a great first step, but he's relentless either way, which is good, and you know, it's great to look for, even if you don't have that monster first move. He's got a good motor, and he seemed to hit his stride at the end of the season when I'm an Alabama fan, for people who've listened to the show before. That's where I went to school, got my degree, and he dominated Alabama in that game. Right now, he looks to me like a middle to late first-round pick. He's being viewed by scouts. A lot of scouts are viewing him better than Shaq Lawson. He looks more versatile because Shaq Lawson, his teammate, is about 260 pounds, so that he doesn't really have a, you know, the NFL, that could be a little undersized for a 3-4 defensive end. and he doesn't. The scouts are curious about his skill set if they move him to outside linebacker. So now Kevin Dodd is being viewed as the better prospect. To me, they're about neck and neck right now. They're both very good, very intriguing prospects. For the running back position, I just finished watching the combine prior to recording this. Ezekiel Elliott is my number one running back right now. He still is. I mean, the combine wasn't too crazy. We'll talk about that, obviously, when we do the show. Too much stock is put into that anyway, but Ezekiel Elliott's my top running back. He looks like the complete package. He looks very good. He did have a drop in the combine today, but that's, you know, that could have just been nerves. He's very tough to bring down. He's got the size. He's quick. He's just, I've been calling him a dumpster, a dump truck. That's what he looks like to me when he runs. He's just very hard to bring down, and he's my easy number one right now for the running back position. Going to tight end, I have my easy tight end prospect right now is Hunter Henry out of Arkansas. I like everything I've seen about him. He's my easy tight end in the draft right now. Based on the tape that I've watched, he looks like the best tight end in a class that's not that great. O.J. Howard from Alabama probably would have been my number one, but he decided to stay for one more year at Alabama. A possible potential sleeper I like at the tight end position is Bryce Williams out of East Carolina. He has great size. He comes in at 6'6", 260. I think he could be a sleeper unless he opens up some eyes, especially, like I said, it's not a very big tight end class. I watched on the tape. He's got good route running skills. He's not very fast, but that's not unfortunate if you're playing the tight end position. You don't have to be too fast as long as you can get open, and Bryce Williams seems to do that. So think about him if your team needs a tight end. Bryce Williams, tight end out of East Carolina, because Hunter Henry in a thin tight end class will probably be a first-round pick, late first-round pick. So Bryce Williams could be a potential guy to grab that I think is being undervalued right now. Prospect that I'm not crazy about, and I haven't been crazy about him in a while. A lot of prospects, scouts don't like him, is Sean Oakman out of Baylor. He's tough to figure out. He's built like a Greek god. He reminds me of a guy that I fell in love with last year, Diggy Odigzuwa from UCLA, who graded out poorly, very poorly. I won't make that mistake again from guys that just look very good, but I thought I had Diggy figured out last year. This year, it's Sean Oakman from Baylor. He's built, he's got, physically, he's crazy. He's that guy that had all the memes come out about him when he was went to the coin toss for the Baylor bowl game last year. He put up pretty good numbers at Baylor, too. That's the weird thing. He put up double-digit sack and tackle for loss stats, I believe, all 3 years he was there. The tape doesn't lie, though, and he's getting beat a lot on the tape. And, you know, what I've watched is he's accruing those numbers from, you know, against lesser competition. And it's also when his technique isn't that good. He's just got the bull rush, and that might be the only thing he's got. With a guy of his physique, he needs to learn some better technique, because for a guy that big, he's about 6'7", 6'8", I think, he gets beat a lot, and I don't understand it. He's very tough to figure out. Like I said, he's built insanely well. He's a physical specimen, and he's got the numbers to back it up, but I just don't see it in the tape right now. This will be a big combine for him to see if he can get more technical with his game and, you know, be better against some offensive linemen when his first move is being proven to not work. I'd like to see that. My number one prospect on my big board right now is Laramie Tunsil. He's my safe number one right now. Even after watching I was planning, you know, not doing too much combine because it started today, but I watched it. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about it. Not only did he look like the most athletic guy out there, but he backed it up with good numbers, did everything he needed to do. I don't think he ran the 40-yard dash, but that's not that important to me. Top picks, you know, top five picks are used, you know, it's not a big thing for them to not run. That's nothing out of the ordinary. He's my safe number one right now. Joey Bosa's, I'll just give you all my quick top five right now. Laramie Tunsil's my number one, but he's my easy number one for right now. To me, he's the best prospect in the country beginning in this cycle for me. Number two is Joey Bosa. Number three is Jalen Ramsey, who is, of course, the cornerback / free safety from Florida State. Number four is Ronnie Stanley, the left tackle from Notre Dame. Number five is Vernon Hargraves III, cornerback out of Florida. But right now, that worth noting is that Tunsil's my safe number one. I would expect, I don't know if that will change during the season. We are 2 months away, but Tunsil just looks like the safe pick right now. He's already got the athleticism I look for in a left tackle, which is, you know, other than quarterback, arguably the most important position in the game. Great feet he showed today. He's got the build. He's ready to go. He just needs to, you know, learn the pro game better, you know, maybe learn some more moves in the pass protection game, but that's nitpicking. He's my safe number one. I was asked by a fan of the show, I think it's Andrew who asked me to scout some Wisconsin players, and the one that I like the most out of, Wisconsin doesn't have a huge class this year. I'm not a big fan of Stave at quarterback. I haven't gotten to watch much tape, though, so that's why I want to elaborate on him. The one guy I have watched tape on right now is Joe Schobert, who is the outside linebacker out of Wisconsin. And what I got about him, he doesn't have ideal size. He's only 6'1", 247 pounds, but he is above average as a pass rusher. I like how he plays a lot. I like this kid. I believe he has double-digit sacks. He definitely did this year. I'm not sure if he had them all his whole career at Wisconsin, but he looked very good to me. He plays aggressive to compensate for not having the God-given athleticism that a lot of other guys may have, which is kind of what I like. He had 20 tackles for loss and 9.5 sacks, which is that's close to the ideal numbers I look for in a first-round pick. The thing I don't like about him, he misses more tackles than he should. He's a below-average run defender, but today's NFL, especially with these defenses, looking for guys to just be, some guys can come in on certain defenses like the Leo position and just be a pure pass rusher. Joe Schobert looks good to me. I don't know where I see him yet. He could be I see him as like a second, or more of a third day guy, like a third round, fourth round pick. If he can put on some weight or prove that he can play in a, you know, at 6'1", 247 and play that outside linebacker position with good aggressiveness and not lose his speed, which is a big part of his game, he could slip into the third day and it wouldn't surprise me. Another pass rusher that is intriguing to me is Bronson Cafusi. If I'm not saying that right, I apologize. Bronson Cafusi from, I believe he's BYU. He's intriguing to me. He could be a tweener. I see him as like a 3-4 outside linebacker or a 4-3 defensive end. Or a legitimate threat at both positions. That's why he's a little tweener. I'm not really sure where I see him, but for now I like him as a pass rushing 3-4 outside linebacker. Jalen Ramsey, who I brought up already, who's one of my top prospects. I really like this kid right now. He's extremely athletic, and he could play corner or safety in the NFL. I like him more as a safety. Just seems to have the good skill set. He's a taller guy. I like him. One thing I noticed on his tape, smaller receivers could give him a problem, but his athleticism keeps him with anyone. He has the speed to hang with anybody, especially, you know, that's one knock against taller defensive backs. The fact that smaller receivers can sometimes pose a threat. But Ramsey, that's one of the things I like so much, the athleticism to hold on, and even if he gets beat, he's fluid with his hips, and he can hold on with these guys. To a prospect I didn't like at the safety position, Jayron Kearse out of Clemson, who, very tall for a safety, it's almost surprising. I can't remember what he came, I don't believe he went to Clemson as a safety, I think he got converted, I think they wanted him as a receiver, but I'm not sure what position. He ended up playing safety. He comes in at 6'5", 200 pounds. He's very tall, very big, and it shows on the tape, seeing a safety like that. And that, you know, he suffered because of that. He's slow to react sometimes, and smaller, quicker players, like I said about Ramsey, can mix up Jayron Kearse, and he doesn't have the speed to hang with certain guys. And another thing I noticed on his tape is that he doesn't always take good angles. If a runner breaks out the first level, Kearse doesn't always take good angles, and he tackles. It's a problem with a lot of safeties. We'll probably harp on it this year. He tackles too high, and that's something that's going to have to be fixed. He's tall, and he can, you know, he's got a good frame, but it's not a good thing. You know, it's just not good technique is to tackle that high, especially from the safety position. The biggest thing I'd like him to fix, though, is his angles. He does not take good angles. And because of, you know, a lot of that stuff with the tall, you know, that hurts as the safety position. I see him as like a fifth-round pick right now. Some people have him in their top 100 boards. I just don't see it right now based on the tape I've watched. I feel like I should have recorded this next player a few weeks ago because it's catching on with some of the bigger draft names, too. Paul Perkins out of UCLA, running back. I think he's being undervalued right now. I've started to notice on a lot of draft websites he's getting the recognition. I noticed this a few weeks ago when I watched his tape. I like him a lot. He's a very patient runner. He waits for his holes to open up. Good speed, good build for the position. We're going to see, you know, I think we're going to see more people start to talk about him now, but I was watching his tape a few weeks ago before when I was getting this show ready. He looks very well to me. He looks like he could be a potential top five. He probably will be in the top five running backs for me when it's all said and done because I've very much liked the tape I've seen on him so far. Moving on to another prospect, Emmanuel Ogba, who is the pass rusher out of Oklahoma State. What I've noticed, he's a very disruptive edge rusher, which is, like I've said, it's a huge thing in the NFL. I like his motor. He rarely takes plays off. He does need some refinement, however, and that's what's keeping him out of my... Where do I have him on my big board? That's what's keeping him out of my top 20 right now. He's number 23rd on my list. I think the combine will be a big thing for him. See how it is. Technique can look like, because I do think he needs refinement there, is instead of just being a pure bull rusher, he can get beat sometimes in the running game like some other prospects I already brought up. So the combine will be a big thing at 23 for me right now. Moving back to another running back, Devontae Booker is another running back I like a lot, who will probably end up being a top five running back, because Ezekiel Elliott and Derrick Henry, those are the two locks for running backs for me. So I got three positions to fill up my top five running backs. Devontae Booker's another one, like Paul Perkins, who could make some noise there. Booker, to me, looks like a true three-down back, which is important in the NFL. It seems like it's a rare thing in the NFL also. He loves the game. He's not afraid to block, even when he doesn't get the ball. Another thing I like about him, like Paul Perkins, he's very patient. You watch both their tapes, you see running backs that wait for the hole to open up instead of trying to bulldoze their way through, which is something I like to look for, especially, with the brittleness of certain players now, you don't want to get hurt as much, so being a good patient running back helps out. Not to say that Booker isn't afraid of contact either. His tape, he is not afraid of contact at all. He's a very physical runner as well, which is why I like him a lot too. He's patient. If you ask him to be patient, he'll be patient. If you ask him to run someone over, he'll do that as well. I really like what I see out of him so far. And he will be in my top 50 next time I finish my list up. He just got edged out this time, but I do like him. He'll be a good second-round pick, I think. Closing this first NFL Draft Thoughts show with a guy that I'm not crazy about, who everyone's talking about at corner right now. Eli Apple, the cornerback out of Ohio State, he's being largely viewed as a first-round talent. I don't see it right now. He's a redshirt sophomore, so that means he saw the field for 2 years. I think he could have used at least one more year to refine his game out at Ohio State. I think that could have helped, obviously. The second I see redshirt sophomore, I'm not always a big fan of that. But it's not just that. I watched this tape. He allows a lot more broken tackles than you want to see, especially out of a first-rounder, which is how he's being viewed right now. And he can get a little grabby and handsy if he's beaten right away on a play, which has led to, quite a few flags that I watched on the three tapes that I've seen on Eli so far. He does have a good build for the position, though. He's 6'1", 200, which, the NFL, a lot of coaches are starting to like that bigger build for a cornerback. I think Vernon Hargraves is about 5'11", to put that in perspective. So Eli Apple's got the physique that the coaches are looking for, being 6'1". I just don't see the first-round talent right now. I want to see how he looks in the combine this weekend, obviously, with more technique, and see him better, at press coverage and stuff like that. I just think he could have used one more year. For now, I see him as about a third or a fourth-round pick, not the first-round pick that everyone is seeing him as right now. But as always, this is all stuff that is subject to change. And that'll wrap it up for our first Draft Thoughts show. I hope you guys like this format. Like I said, if you have any questions, that's what we loved about last year, was answering the questions. You can email us at NFLDraftJunkie@gmail.com. Find us at facebook.com/NFLDraftJunkie. We are the Pro Football Draft Junkie podcast, but that, you can't change the Facebook page or the email after I've made it. So that's how you go ahead and send us an email. We're on Twitter. I don't know Twitter that well, how to give you the handle. We're just Pro Football Junkie on Twitter. It's not hard to find, I believe, if you Google it. Just give us any questions you guys would like. We're going to continue with these Draft Thoughts shows, and the second the Fantasy Matriculator, my old co-host, becomes free, we will be able to have, back to our two-man rotational shows, where we can bounce ideas off of each other. Coming next, in a few days, I'll go get into my big board show, and we'll have some more Draft Thoughts shows, and now that the Combine's going on this weekend, we will have our Combine wrap-up show after the after Monday, so maybe Tuesday or Wednesday when we do our Combine wrap-up show. Thanks for listening, as always, guys, and let us know anything you want to hear on the show.